You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Sacred Space, hosted by Beatrice Corbo.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Burn away my fears, and wipe away my tears, and trust in you are here, Holy Spirit.
Hello, friends. This is Beatrice Corbo, and welcome to Sacred Space Radio Maria. I have just returned from an amazing pilgrimage to Medjugorje, which is located in Bosnia-Herzegovina, which is a former Yugoslavia. I have a guest today in the studio. Her name is Maria Dalsin, and Maria has been to Medjugorje a few times. Today, we will be talking about this special place on Earth where Mother Mary has been appearing for over 40 years. But before we begin, let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Some of you may have heard about Medjugorje, where our Blessed Mother has been appearing and giving messages to six local kids since 1981. The content of the messages have been both personal for each visionary and public ones to give to the world. The messages deal with peace and conversion through prayer and fasting. Our Lady, known as the Queen of Peace, continues to give messages to the six visionaries. She tells us that God has sent her to our world, and these years she is spending with us are a time of grace granted by God. In her own words, she tells us, "I have come to tell the world that God exists. He is the fullness of life, and to enjoy this fullness and peace, you must return to God." Basically, her messages are to re-educate us and to help us convert and re-center our lives to God. Our Lady's role has always been one of guiding people to her Son Jesus. These apparitions in Medjugorje are considered to be private revelations, and as Catholics, we are not obligated to accept them. However, a formal commission was launched on March 26, 2010, led by Cardinal Camillo Ruini, to investigate all aspects of Medjugorje. A formal report was given to Pope Francis, in which the Cardinal made the following points. 1. That Medjugorje be placed under Vatican control. 2. That church-organized pilgrimages to Medjugorje be allowed. 3. That Medjugorje be declared a pontifical shrine of the Church. And 4. That the first apparitions be declared authentic and supernatural in nature. Of the four recommendations made by the Cardinal, the Vatican only approved church-organized pilgrimages to Medjugorje in May 2019. The first sanctioned event was the 30th Annual Youth Festival, which took place from August 1st to August 6th in 2019. During the pilgrimage, approximately 50,000 young Catholics from all parts of the world came to Medjugorje. Presently, the Pope has appointed Archbishop Monsignor Aldo Cavalli as the apostolic visitor with a special role for the parish of Medjugorje. This appointment can be seen as another step forward in the Vatican's formal approval of Medjugorje. Since the apparitions began in 1981, approximately 40 million people of all faiths from all over the world have visited Medjugorje and have left spiritual strengthened and renewed. Many people have experienced miracles in the form of healings of mind, body, and spirit. There have been supernatural visual signs and deep conversions back to God. There have been many fruits from Medjugorje, and today my guest, Maria Del Sin, will share with us her experience in visiting Medjugorje and the impact it has made on her life. We will be back after a short break.
Queen of Peace.
solemn promise to be better than we have been. Look upon us and console us. Lay your gentle hands upon us. Pray for us, O Queen of Peace. Pray for us, O Queen of Peace.
Welcome back to Sacred Space Radio Maria. I'm Beatrice, and with me in the studio is Maria Del Sin. Welcome, Maria.
Hi, Beatrice. Thank you for inviting me here.
Thank you for being here. So, Maria, you've been to Medjugorje a few times. What draws you to this place?
Yeah, I've been to Medjugorje 3 times now. And I'll try to put in words what draws me to Medjugorje. The first time I went, I was actually, for many, many years, I knew about Medjugorje and I wanted to go to Medjugorje, but I had little small kids and it was very difficult to travel or to take the time away from work. And there was always some reason. But finally, in the fall of 2019, I was able to go. And so, like I say, it's hard to put it in words, but it's a place that you just feel so much peace and you don't just feel it in one particular area. You feel it throughout the village. And I just feel like there's a pull. Like as soon as I got home from Medjugorje, I wanted to go back. And so I did go back. Of course, COVID hit and many of us that wanted to go couldn't. But I did go back last summer with my parents. And again, when I got back, I wanted to go back again. And as you know, we gathered a number of parishioners from our church at St. Mary's. And there was 13 of us that went, that just came back. And I'm going back again in September. It's not something I can explain. It's just, you feel the peace there. You feel it throughout the village. You just feel our mother, she's there. And she just gives you that peace.
I have to agree with you, Maria, because this was my first time going to Medjugorje. And what impressed upon me is a feeling of connection. I felt so connected with everybody around me, not just our friends from our church, but all the strangers walking in the streets, meeting at the church, their adoration, standing in line, going to confession, observing the people's faces when they went to confession, when they came out, the peace and joy that they all had on their face, that expression of wow, you know, like it would really just affected me. So I totally understand that you cannot really explain it in just a few words. It's something that needs to be experienced to understand, because I have a friend from Aruba who's been going there now 15 times. And now that I've gone, she said, "Now, Beatrice, we can talk about this and you'll know exactly what I mean."
Yeah, you understand. When I was there in the summertime, I met a family with a young girl. She was in her 20s and they have 3 daughters. And of course, the first question that people ask is, is this your first time or have you been here before? And they had been over 20 times. And it's just an annual thing. They go and they just cannot get enough, right?
It is so beautiful. And what they say is you can only have a first time once, because it'll never be your last. So I totally understand that to be true right now. As I stated earlier, there's many fruits that emerge from Medjugorje. There's spiritual awakenings, which lead to conversion, healing, spiritual and physical, emotional healing. There have also been organizations which have emerged to help God's children across various countries, and one of which you are part of. Can you tell us a little bit more about this organization that comes from Medjugorje?
Yeah, absolutely. So the name of the organization is Mary's Meals. And I learned about Mary's Meals when I was there on my first pilgrimage in the fall of 2019. So Mary's Meals is an international charity that sets up school feeding programs in some of the poorest countries where poverty and hunger prevent children from gaining an education. Mm-hmm. And our vision is that every child receives one daily nutritious meal in their place of education, and all of those that have more than they need will share with those who lack even the most basic things. So Mary's Meals is named after Mary, the mother of Jesus, our Blessed Mother. And yes, it is considered to be a fruit of Medjugorje. And I can give you a little bit of background on kind of how it started.
Yes, that would be helpful.
If that's helpful.
So that we can see how this fruit emerged. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So in 1983, Magnus MacFarlane Barrow and his brother Fergus, they were young at the time, mm-hmm. ages 16 and 15, they traveled from their home in Scotland and they went and visited Medjugorje, which was part of Yugoslavia at that time. And they had, as you mentioned, they had numerous spiritual experiences themselves while they were there. They actually got to know some of the visionaries and became friends with some of the visionaries. And they returned changed, as many of us do. Mm-hmm. And that visit really planted the seed for what was to become a lifelong mission. When they came back from that pilgrimage, they set up what's called the Craig Lodge Family House of Prayer. It's a Catholic retreat center, and they opened that up after they came back from their pilgrimage. So that was one thing that they did. Fast forward to 1991, Yugoslavia was in full-blown civil war, and the scenes from that time are very familiar to what the images that we are all seeing today on our TV from Ukraine. So Magnus and his brother, they really wanted to help relieve the suffering of the people of Bosnia, who many of them were now in refugee camps. So they made a local appeal for help, and before they knew it, parcels of food and clothing, medicine were being delivered to their home, along with a lot of donations of money. And they stored all those supplies in the shed on their dad's property, and they decided, well, let's get a beat-up secondhand Land Rover, and we'll fill that with all the supplies, and we'll drive that over. And they actually leave the, even including the Land Rover, because they needed vehicles to mm-hmm. distribute mm-hmm. the goods. And they're going to leave it close to a camp that was close to Medjugorje. They're going to fly home, and then that was it. You know, that we've done our good deed, and we're ready to get on with their lives.
Yes.
But it looks like our Blessed Mother and our Lord had different plans for them. So when they returned from that trip, they came back, and the donations were just pouring in. And then Magnus said, okay, that's my calling. He quit his job at the time. He sold his house and he created an organization at the time that was called Scottish International Relief. And then for the next 10 years, that organization provided aid and relief to many different countries, especially those that were suffering from famine. Fast forward a little bit to 2002, and Magnus was on his travels in the different countries, and he met a young boy named Edward. And that really, I think when he talked to Edward, that really launched the mission of Mary's Meals, because he asked him, he said, you know, what are your hopes in life? You know, it was mm-hmm. a question he asked Magnus, who was 14 at the time. And Edward answered, I'd like to have enough food to eat, and I would like to go to school one day. Mm-hmm. And when I say those words, it breaks my heart, because, you know, we here in Canada, something we just take so for granted mm-hmm. at 14. He just wanted to have enough food and maybe one day be able to go to school.
Yeah.
So at that point, the experience of the past 20 years just came together. The devotion that Magnus and his family had to our Blessed Mother, their encounter with her in Medjugorje when they were teenagers, the many impoverished children that they met over the years, and the words that he just heard. Mm-hmm. So Mary's Meals was born, and its concept is very simple, but it's very effective. They partner with local communities, and daily meals are provided to hungry children in a place of education. So it brings them into the classroom where they can find a route out of poverty. And whenever possible, the food is provided is locally grown, and the community owns the program. So they own it, they support it, they prepare the food, they serve the food mm-hmm. to the children. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, the children must come into the classroom to get the meal.
Right.
You know? By 2015, it had grown into a global movement, providing 1 million children a daily nutritious meal in their classroom. But today, Mary's Meals is feeding 2.4 million children across 18 countries. And really, it's really run by an army of volunteers, of that people that are all just either there, you know, giving, if they can donate, they mm-hmm. donate, if they mm-hmm. can provide their skills, their ideas, their prayers. We have even regular prayer meetings that we pray for the organization to be right. successful, a regular monthly rosary that we pray. So also it's one of the organizations that that Share Life supports.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, Share Life has a number of organizations and some international, and this is one of the international organizations that they support. So that kind of just gives you a bit of a background of,
yes.
of and why it's considered a fruit of Medjugorje, because it started when they were teenagers and they brought it
just doing God's work, building up God's kingdom.
Yes.
Through their encounter with their spiritual awakening that they had in Medjugorje.
Yeah.
How wonderful is that? It was very personal, but they shared it with the world.
Yes.
And now here you are participating and doing your part as well. What schools are, or which countries are the schools that Canada supports?
Yeah, so of the 18 countries, Mary's Meals Canada has school feeding programs in Malawi, Zambia, Kenya, and India. So mm-hmm. they're the four schools that mm-hmm. we support in Canada.
Okay, so that's interesting. There's four countries that are affiliated from Canada with Mary's Meals. How wonderful is that? I'm just wondering, Maria, how much does it cost to feed a child?
So it costs $31.70 Canadian to feed a child for a whole year, a whole school year, feed a child a meal every single day.
$31.70. Wow, that's really nothing. That's, you know, yeah. And how much of every dollar goes directly to feed the children?
So 93 cents of every dollar is directly to feed the children, and 7 cents is the mm-hmm. administration.
Which is needed. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the principles is to keep that administration cost as low as possible
mm-hmm.
and have the majority of the money go directly to feed the children.
That's wonderful. So wonderful to hear. I was just also wondering, the children affiliated with the Mary's Meals, the schools that you choose, are they? Do they have a certain faith base or foundation, or is there non-denominational, or is it Catholic?
So Mary's Meals feeds children of all faiths and of no faiths. They are all children of God. They feed all children.
It's so beautiful, and they are our future, right?
Yes.
So that's wonderful work that you're doing. That's wonderful. So how did you get involved with all this? What attracted you to this organization?
After I came back from my pilgrimage in 2019, actually, I heard Magnus speak. I was on pilgrimage. I was staying in one of the pensions, the guest houses there. And Magnus came in and he spoke. He happened to be in Medjugorje at the time, and he spoke about Mary's Meals. And I was thinking, oh, it's only in, you know, it's only there. It's only in Medjugorje. But when I came home and I did some research, I realized that Canada has an affiliate. And I said, I'll donate. So mm-hmm. I started by donating 1 year. I donated the next year. And then I got a call, just series of events that happened. I won't get into them in detail, but certainly our Blessed Mother had her hands on that. And I was called to ask if I'd like to be on their board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
And it was our Blessed Mother calling me. So of course I said yes. And so I've been on the board of directors for a couple of years now. This is my second year. And it's really, as I say, it's an army of volunteers that help.
So here you've been to visit Medjugorje a few times, but your heart is, you're still, even though you're here, but you're still doing work for an organization that comes from Medjugorje. So how beautiful is that?
Yeah, it makes you feel, or makes me feel that I'm still somewhat connected to Medjugorje.
Definitely. I know.
You know, we can't go there and live there as many of us would, you know, we'd love to spend more time there. But certainly if we can help, especially a fruit of Medjugorje, it makes us feel connected.
It's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. If people want to have information on your organization, how could they contact you?
Yes, they can. We have a website. So if you go to Mary's Meals, all one word, like www.marysmeals.ca, that's the Canadian website. And it has everything there. Like it has the vision. It tells you how to get involved, what we do, our mission, all the various. There's so many resources there that explains the organization. And if you want to donate, you can donate through there as well. Mm-hmm. I can give my own personal email if that's okay.
If you want to talk
to me directly about it, it's Maria Dalcin. My email is MADALCIN. @rogers.com. So if anybody mm-hmm. wants to reach out yeah. and wants more information, they're always looking for volunteers, especially the young, you know, getting the young people involved.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can fundraise, you know, they can climb hills yeah. and do walkathons and do all kinds of things.
A lot of things.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of fun things
yeah.
To raise the money.
That's wonderful. And again, this just goes to prove that Mary's present in Medjugorje is having an impact worldwide, and this is the type of news that we need to hear more often, because unfortunately we're always bombarded with negative news of what wars and famine and things like that, which do exist. I don't mm-hmm. want to undermine them, but it's so nice to hear about the good that's being done throughout the world, especially with our Blessed Mother's presence and guiding us
yes.
into
yeah.
doing this work yeah. and leading us to her son. That's
yes.
that's her role in life.
Yeah, yes, yeah. most definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, Maria, for sharing all this wonderful information with us today. We've come to the end of our program, but before we leave, I know that you mentioned to me earlier that there is a prayer that you pray as an organization, and I thought maybe we can end off the program today with the prayer for Mary's Meals.
Absolutely. Thank you, Beatrice. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for the times when we take more than our share of the bread that belongs to all. Let us help you fill the starving with good things, not with scraps from our table. Teach us how to share what is not ours to keep. Clothe us with your love that we may complete each good work you created us to do. Place in our hearts your compassion for each starving child, and use our little acts of love so that they starve no more. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Beatrice.
And thank you, listeners, and God bless, and we'll talk to you next time.
Been listening to Sacred Space, hosted by Beatrice Corbeau, here on Radio Maria Canada. If you have any comments or questions, please send them to sacredspace@radiomaria.ca. To learn more about this program, please visit radiomaria.ca/sacredspace.